Thanks for coming, everyone. It's our first talk back, and we're very blessed to have this great practitioner at North speaking. He'll be speaking about how to find your pathway in life. So I think a lot of youth think about that. We've all thought about it, me and some others here, all my friends, and I know it's a bit of a struggle going to uni. You don't know what to do, what to study. You're teaching to a degree, and you think, I don't want to do this anymore. You finish your degree, you don't want to do it. So hopefully His grace can shed some light on this topic and, you know, give us some good insight. So welcome, Your Grace. We'll start with the prayer.
Στο όνομα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος, αμήν. Δόξα ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον δόξα Σε. Βασιλεύ, ουράνια, παράκλητο το πνεύμα της αληθείας, ο πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρών, ο θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής χορηγός, ελθέ και σκήνωσον εν ημίν και καθάρισον ημάς από πάσης κυλίδος και σώσον αγαθέτες ψυχάς ημών. Διευχών των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ, ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν. You may be seated. Was this introduction? Do we have any further? Are you going to say anything else? And then I'll ask you. You're still there? Me?
Yeah,
you must. Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right. So, tonight, can you hear me? Everybody can hear me? So tonight we will talk about how to find your path in life. If anything, it's not an easy subject. I'll tell you a small story, a personal story. So let's say how many years ago? 1990, around there. 89, 90. People were talking, they had a lot of theories. One of the theories was that the end of the world is coming soon. Familiar? Anyway, so I thought to myself, if the end of the world is coming soon, how about if I go to a monastery? And I did. But I didn't, like, this was in the back of my mind, but what I'm telling you is that sometimes God allows us to be tempted in a way, and this can lead us into the path that was for us, give us a small push to do what we're supposed to. And now that I'm looking back after how many years, 30 years, more, I think that I would have never consciously chosen anything else. And I think that, of course, life is full of mistakes, but my choice to become a monk was not one of them. And I'm very grateful to God that I chose this path. This doesn't mean that the same path is for all of us, but what it means is that 30 years down the track, we need to look back and be happy with the choices we did in life. Because if we're not, it's not very pleasant. It's not the best thing to happen. We need to look back and be confident that regardless of our mistakes, we did something right. And God will always be with us. That's not an issue. So if you have any questions, and we can talk further on the subject.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually add a question in mind that connects with what you just said, Yolanda. Like you said, life is full of mistakes, and we make good decisions and bad decisions. I wanted to know from you if we have to constantly seek out good experiences, and obviously we want to avoid sin and a bad lifestyle, but can those bad experiences help us in any way, or is only good experiences beneficial? Can they both be beneficial?
I think everything can be beneficial if we use it the proper way. But if we go to extreme situations, we need to be careful not to make mistakes that they are not fixable. We all make mistakes in life, and the bad experiences sometimes, they teach us things and they give us wisdom for the future. But definitely we need to be careful to avoid as many mistakes as possible. But God can use the worst experience we could ever have to help us, and then once we stand on our feet, through this knowledge that we got from the bad experience, we can help others. It's just that we need to remember when it comes to that, that the way that we made our own mistakes, we need to allow others to make mistakes as well. We can't tell them because we had the experience and it didn't turn out well, we can't force them to do the right thing. We can't take away someone's freedom just because we know that mathematically what they do will lead them into the wrong thing. So we need, once you have families, you need to be careful with your kids as well. You can't push them too much. If you push them towards the right direction, you take away their freedom. God does not do this to us. So if you want to lead your children, your future children, to the right path, you need to make sure that you yourselves are the right example and that there is love in the family. If there is not love in the family, the kids, they get hurt and things are very difficult for them and for us. But yeah, it's very important.
Yonder, when you chose to join a monastery, which is the calling of monasticism, which is a very big calling, as I'm sure you take those vows for life, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you feel any difficulties or pushback when you decided to go to the monastery, or was it smooth sailing? Because I know sometimes you want to make a decision to join a job or study something certain or move to another country, you keep getting pushback, whether it be from family, from friends, from the circumstances, not only a year ago. Like, is it right to push through that stuff, or are those signs that we should take in, like, okay, don't do this, this isn't the right decision?
There are always things that can push us back, and I'm no exception. I had this as well. For example, I don't know what to say first, but there are a few things there that they can. So I was never thinking of becoming a monk in my life. I found myself studying physiotherapy in Thessaloniki, and I thought of going to Mount Athos just to visit. And there I found a spirit in one monastery, Simonopetra. I found a spirit of happiness, freedom and love. And I thought that these things could never exist in a monastery. But I found them there. And then I went again and again and again, and then I thought to myself, if I really want to save myself, because that's what matters, might be easier in a monastery, and I jumped into it, and that was it. But if I was to be distracted, for example, Elder Milianos, my elder in the monastery, he always had the, let's say, tradition for everyone who wanted to join the brotherhood to finish what they were doing first and then join. So if someone was studying something, he would tell them, finish your studies and you come after. I don't know how God allowed for me to be very firm with what I wanted, and I gave up physiotherapy after a year and a half. I gave it up, and he allowed me to do so. If he was not to allow me, I would have lost the chance of getting to know him better, because I joined the monastery in 1990. 5 years later, he got sick and he was not around anymore. So it was an exception that he did for me, and probably he did it because he knew that I needed that. But if I was to get distracted from my studies, which I'm not telling you not to finish your studies for whatever you're doing in life, but I'm saying that this was an exception. But if I was to be sidetracked from that, I would have lost the opportunity of getting to know Gerard Emiliano better. And basically, I don't think I would have become a monk, because without him, for me, it would have been useless. Yes. So there are things that they can make us take a different path.
What are some ways we can, practical ways we can discern, you know, what's the right path? Like, if we are getting pushed back from circumstances in life or family, whatever, how do we know that that's right? And, like, it's, you know, take the hard decision and maybe disappoint some people and go ahead with what you want to do. Are there any practical ways we can discern that? Like, maybe, like, for example, your life, like physiotherapy or monasticism?
Yes. I always say that knowing God's will, it's not a luxury. It's not something that some people can have it and the rest, we can't find it. We were born, all of us, we were created to become saints. This is why God created us. So for us to know what he wants from us, it's something natural. It's not something difficult. And I will explain. The gospel tells us that, the gospel says, I'll say it in Greek and then we translate it, ο αγαπών με γνώσετε. So, Jesus talks about himself and he says, the one who loves me will end up knowing. What am I trying to say? If we really love God, he will show us the way. But the problem is, do we love him enough? And do we really want to know? Or are we afraid that what we might find out might not satisfy our ideas about ourselves or our plans, future plans? The more we love God, the more his will be revealed in our lives. And when it comes down to what am I going to choose in life, could be any simple thing. Could be as stupid as, should I go through this road or through the other one? If we know how to pray, we can even pray for this and find the answer straight away. But how do we discern what's the path we should take? We discern it because when we want to follow Christ, whatever we think, whatever we understand, it's his will, will sit more peacefully inside us. Whatever will create anxiety inside us, it's not for us, or it's not for us yet, or it's not for us ever. So whatever is peaceful inside us, that's what we should follow, and that's how we discern which path to take in life. And it's obvious, like, because being a monk means that you love God. You enter into a marriage with God, the same way that you enter into a marriage when you marry someone. So when you love someone, you don't question yourself, should I move ahead or not? I love someone, she is the love of my life, full stop, that's it. End of story. Regardless if no one else on the planet agrees, that's what my heart tells me, that's what I'm doing, that's it, I can't do anything else.
So I think it's quite important to follow the gut instinct or your heart.
It is. You need to have a spiritual father And forgive me for saying this, you need a spiritual father who is spiritual, because a lot of confessors, they claim to know God's will, but unfortunately, and I've seen this a million times, and I'm not trying to put any doubts in anyone's head, but I've seen this and it's very sad. The church itself, some people in the church, they do the biggest damage in people's lives. When they force them, the spiritual fathers, they force them to do something, or when they tell them, I know what God wants. Well, if you know what God wants, be humble and don't advertise it in this way, because that's not what God wants. You can't say you know what God wants and demand it. God is not a monster. God lets us free. And the person who knows God's will tell you in such a gentle way that you might not even realize it. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. Not, for example, you go in a monastery and they tell you, you have to stay here and become a monk because this is what God wants. Yeah, right, see you later. It doesn't work like that. If you don't feel it in your guts, they can tell you whatever. They can't convince me I'm something I'm not. So you need to have a spiritual father who lets you free to choose what you want in life, and he will tell you according to his knowledge and according to his connection with God what he thinks is more beneficial for you. But at the end of the day, you're free to choose. And he will support you regardless what you choose.
I've noticed since I started coming to church, freedom is a big component to the spiritual life and following Christ. If it's not done in freedom, then it's not going to be beneficial.
No.
Anything forced, I've noticed, just leads to destruction and confusion, anxieties and whatnot. Also, just touching on that as well, I know a lot of young people may feel like they want to maybe get away from their parents, or they have some sort of rebellious spirit inside them where they want to be, you know, free from their parents, and they want to have freedom from the household and the parents' expectations. What are your thoughts on that? Is it okay sometimes to go off on your own in these early teen years of 16 to 19, or do you think that freedom being independent.
Kids wanting to go away from home is one thing. The other thing we need to question is why. Because if, as we said, they don't find love and peace within the family environment, of course they will go away. And sometimes it's more peaceful to go away than stay in a house that parents, they fight 24/7. It's not healthy. But you guys need to see yourselves not just for the present moment. You need to picture yourselves 20 years down the track and think, I understand that home is a mess, but if I was to go away, if I was to go down a different path, is this the best for me, or the best for me would be to be more patient and understand that there is a problem, try to avoid it as much as possible, but be patient.
And you mentioned earlier about having a spiritual father. I know that not everybody in here will maybe know what a spiritual father is, so can you just kind of explain maybe what they can provide for us and actually who they are in our lives?
Repeat the last bit of the question. What?
So, what role they perform in the life of the Christian Orthodox Christian?
I still didn't hear.
What role do they perform in the life of an Orthodox Christian?
Okay. So, the role of the spiritual father in our lives.
Yeah, just do that out, because I know some people in here may not know what a spiritual father is.
Okay. So, one of the sacraments that we've got in our church is the sacrament of confession. When we do something wrong, when our conscience tells us that we've done something that was not proper, we go to someone who's a priest and a confessor, and we confess our sins, and he gives us forgiveness. that we believe that this is a sacrament, so every priest who has the blessing to be a confessor can do this. But I think we need something more than that in our lives. We don't just need a confessor. We need a spiritual father. We need, as they say for monks, a yeruda. And you don't need to be a monk to have a yeruda. You need a spiritual father regardless what you're doing. Even if you are an astronaut, you need a spiritual father. So a spiritual father is someone who will tell you, you will ask him questions like things that we're talking about tonight, and he will tell you what he thinks the best thing for you is. And if he is someone who's close to God, he will give you answers that they will be very beneficial for your future and for your present. Yeah, so that's what a spiritual father is.
Yeah, and confessing, obviously, you go to a certain priest and you tell him your sins and your, you know, your imperfections, what you're struggling with, what's burning you. I suppose if your spiritual father is also your confessor, it's even better.
It's, yes, of course. Of course, yes.
Because once they know your downfalls and what bothers you, they can guide you better. Mm. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. If anyone else has questions, I want to open it up to the floor. Just, you got His Grace saying, say what He said. If you want to expand, if you want to know anything more on what He said or anything new, yeah, I'll just take a moment.
Do you want to have a microphone?
Yerunda, if you don't have a spiritual father here in Sydney, where would you find one? How would you go about that?
Not on Gumtree, no. It's not a good place to look for a spiritual father. It is a big issue because there are not a lot of people that can inspire us to trust us, and this is a big issue. But the way that God can lead us to find answers in our questions, I guess the same way He can lead us to a person. And it looks like it could be a coincidence how we met this person, but it's never a coincidence. We believe, regardless the wars, regardless the poverty, regardless everything that happens on the planet, we believe that the Holy Spirit leads the history of the humankind. So whatever happens, God might allow it to happen, but at the end of the day, if God doesn't want something to happen, it will not happen. And if God wants something to happen, it will happen. So if your heart is open and if you're asking to find someone who can lead you into salvation, this person will come one way or another. And if this person, for how many years, won't be around, until you meet this person, you've got the fathers of the church, you've got all these books that they tell you about life, they tell you about prayer, they tell you about God. So if you try yourself to reach God, you will have a lot of your questions answered until the right time comes for this person in your life. And of course, everyone is experiencing the sacrament of the spiritual father because the connection between the apostles and Christ was like a sacrament. And it's the same with the spiritual father and the disciple. It's like a sacrament, even if it's outside of confession time. So this sacrament, a lot of people have experienced it in a different way, but I will tell you, when I met and when I got to know Elder Emiliano, my elder, I felt that it's like God had created me to be his disciple. There was no one else on the planet that I thought that could speak to my heart the way that he did. And he was not saying much. But it was this feeling that what you were going to ask, he would give it to you sometimes even before you were asking, before you were, yeah. So this connection, when if you find this connection, just stay there.
Yeah. Can I just add as well, is there